The first reading is from Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. You'll find it on page 961 to 962 in the Pew Bible. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Let's do that again. Can you hear me now? Okay, second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and it can be found on page 1029 in your Pew Bibles. John the Baptist prepares the way. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley should be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
When Christmas is over this year, will life be just the same for us, or will we be changed? How much will we use and take note of these 4 weeks of Advent? Advent is a godsend, a gift which can stop us in our tracks and remind us that now is the time when we have to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now is the time when we must reflect on our need to change our lives and to confess our sins. In recent years, there's been a shift away from this focus towards the joyful expectation of Christ's coming at Christmas. But the season of Advent gives us the opportunity to really experience the winter darkness and the long waiting for the coming of the light. And yet our experience of darkness need not be wholly bleak, as it is under controlled conditions, because we know that Christmas will follow Advent as surely as spring follows winter. Our two Bible readings this morning from Malachi in the Old Testament and Luke in the New have a clear focus on the need for repentance. They are challenging and thought-provoking. Both passages are written at times of turmoil when the people are facing difficulties. There is no precise detail given in the book of Malachi, but we know that the people had lost hope in God. they were full of their own grievances, and they believed that their circumstances were beyond the power of God. They were in a mess. While they were not actually running away from God and were not worshipping idols as they'd done in the past, they seemed to lack the energy to serve God wholeheartedly. They tried to live in neutral territory, neither serving God too enthusiastically nor turning away from him completely. In his writing, Luke gives us very precise detail, revealing a story of oppression and misery that was building up to an explosion point. In 14 AD, Tiberius had become emperor, and he was ruthless. Two of Herod's sons were ruling somewhat shakily under Roman permission in the north of the country, but Rome had taken direct control of the south, including Jerusalem itself. Most people did not regard Herod's sons as real rulers, as they were a self-made royal house, ruling like Rome by fear and oppression, and the high priests weren't much better. Movements of resistance had come and gone, in some cases being put down brutally. Everybody knew that they couldn't go on as they were. When we look at the world today and the misery and oppression that exists in so many countries, or when we look at the apathy, muddle, and confusion in the lives of so many, then we can easily relate to both groups of people in these passages. How many of us have found ourselves losing hope and feeling helpless? It is into these worlds of turmoil that God sends messengers. God's response to the Old Testament people of Jerusalem and Judah was not to appear among them himself, but to speak through his prophet. The very name Malachi means messenger. The promise of his message is also fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. Although John's message was often very challenging, he drew crowds to hear what he had to say. They could see that he practiced what he preached, living in the wilderness and rejecting material security. They knew deep down that what he had to say was right, even if uncomfortable. He was a witness to the truth and faithful to the end of his life. In many ways, John the Baptist is like all the Old Testament prophets, preparing the way for God. Luke emphasizes the extent to which John's coming represents a renewed realization of the promise of Isaiah in the words of a voice calling in the desert to level all geographical obstacles to prepare for his coming. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. But what does this mean to us? The appeal to the levelling of creation, preparing the way for God, is best seen as the removal of all obstacles in our lives. And the season of Advent points us towards this preparation. But how do we prepare the way? Both sets of people in our readings had made themselves unable to receive God because they were trying to make him meet their standards rather than opening themselves up to meet his. The people who Malachi ministered to had belittled God, losing sight of his power and his love. Those who came to hear John the Baptist had their own set ideas of what the Messiah would be like. They agreed with him that the Messiah was coming, but they were convinced that he would be a powerful leader who would take control by force. How much do we hold set ideas of God's nature and his plan for us and all of humankind? Both Malachi and John the Baptist tell their audiences of the need for repentance. The message is challenging. They need to prepare themselves, to recognize that they are sinners and to repent. Malachi makes it clear that this is not going to be easy, that they will be purified and refined by fire until they recognize God again. It is not God who has strayed, but the people themselves. So what does this mean to us? We can all think of ways in which we have sinned, but we also need to apply his message to our everyday decisions, to the way in which we treat others, and whether we go the extra mile to help them. Our recalcitrant human nature is always reluctant to change. The concept of repentance is central to Luke. True repentance involves a turning, a change of direction. It is a contrite heart that comes to God for forgiveness, one who knows the need of a spiritual physician. We need to pray to break the cycle in our own hearts, to truly repent. Can we think of things we need to repent of, and ways in which we could change our familiar patterns so we can be open to God and help others? John the Baptist's message of repentance involves a huge reorientation in which the centre of our being becomes no longer ourselves, but one who is much, much greater. We need to make room for Jesus Christ at the very centre of our being. We are challenged to live constantly with our eyes fixed on God. We are challenged always to point beyond ourselves. But how do we do this? Through prayer. It is prayer that gives us the opportunity to focus on God in every part of our lives. Prayer is how we give our relationship with God a chance to grow and develop, and this needs time. So this Advent, let us make time to create a space so that our understanding of God's love for us and our love for God in response can grow. Until I know oneness with you, I am incomplete, unfinished. Until I feel your breath upon me, I am not fully alive. Until you break my chains and set me free, I remain in bondage. Until you are close and deep within me, I am alone, apart, bereft. If we repent and focus again on God, then what will God's response be? In verse 7 of chapter 3 of Malachi, it says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was preparing a way for the Lord himself, through his son Jesus Christ, to return to his people. Through John the Baptist's ministry, God makes salvation manifest for all to see. The promised, long-awaited rule of God through the Messiah and his Spirit come into being in a fresh and startling way. There is nothing beyond God's compassion and power. If we actively believe his word, then there are no limits to what he can do for us, for our families, and for the whole of humankind. God is with us. Do we invite God into our lives, or do we continue to keep him distant? Invite the love, light, and peace of God to dwell deeply in our hearts. Transformation. Lord, you come to bring life in place of death, to bring light in place of darkness, to bring truth in place of falsehood, to bring peace in place of turmoil. Lord, you are life and light. You are healing, truth, and peace. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.